Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the BC Members Call on Thursday, July 21st, 2016. On the call today, we do have Barbara Warner, Chris Wilson, Andrew Harris, Beth Allegretti, Steve Del Bianco, Tim Smith, Angie Graves, Jay Sadowski, Susan Kawaguchi, Philip Corwin, Nat Cohen, Denise Michelle, Haba Hussein, and Marilyn Cade. I apologize if I did miss a name due to Adobe Connect issues. We do have apologies from Andy Abrams, Jimson Olufoye, and Olga Yaguez. From staff, we have myself, Michelle D. Snyder. I'd like to remind all participants to state their name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you so much, and over to you.
Thanks, Michelle, and this is Chris. Thank you all for taking the time to be on today's call, and apologies again for the technical glitches we're having with Adobe Connect, but I think we should be able to go ahead and proceed without the benefit, unfortunately, of the chat room. And so, as I mentioned earlier, Steve had circulated the policy calendar to everybody yesterday. Hopefully, you can pull that up via email and take a look at that. And so, why don't we go ahead and turn to Steve, and we can go ahead and dive into the policy calendar. Steve?
Thank you, Chris. Is there any member on the call who needs me to resend the email with the policy calendar? All right,
yes.
Dive in.
Sorry, Steve, if you don't mind, it's Marilyn. Can you resend? I don't know what our technical issues are, but if you could just resend it, but keep talking.
Thanks, Marilyn. I'll shoot that over to you. In fact, it's just send it now. All right, everyone, at the top section, Channel 1, are comments that we've already filed. I'm going to highlight two since our last meeting. On July the 6th, we filed a very brief comment supporting the restated Articles of Incorporation for ICANN, and our comments echoed what most others did in that the draft articles reflected what the cross-community working group recommended was necessary. And in particular, the BC wanted to ensure that ICANN couldn't change its form of incorporation or place of incorporation without a change to the articles, and we ensured that the change to the articles would require unanimous written consent from the empowered community. On July the 20th, well, yesterday, we filed the attached comment on amendments to the base new registry agreement. This was one of the more interesting and controversial comments that we've had in the past couple of years in the BC, and actually things worked pretty smoothly in the end. I think our charter is pretty wise in the way it tries to generate momentum for a set of comments and tries to recognize the fact that if you have objections to any aspect of a comment by more than 10% of our members, that we kick into gear other kind of procedures, conversations, negotiations, and compromise. And my hat's off to Denise, Michelle, who led a very strong draft, and then when presented with concerns that were expressed by 10% of our members, made some key compromises. I also want to thank Paul Mitchell, Cecilia Smith, Andrew Harris for contributing edits. That comment was submitted yesterday, and thanks to all who helped to make it happen. Are there any other comments on that? Thanks again, everyone. Let me turn to the open public comments. You'll see from the policy calendar that there are 9 open public comments that are particularly relevant to the BC right now. That's a lot. And the first one is the review of this ICANN fellowship program, and namely, the application process for that. Andrew Mack and Jimson Olufoye volunteered to draft one for that, and just moments ago, Andrew Mack sent me 2 paragraphs for a BC comment. I'm waiting on Jimson, who's traveling today, to endorse that. And once I get that, I will send it to all of you, and the subject line will read, for review, since this one is due the 29th of July. It's going to be a very brief comment of only 2 paragraphs. The next 3, numbers 2, 3, and 4, all deal with PTI. That's a new acronym to add to your lexicon at ICANN, and it means post-transition IANA. And it's a new affiliate, a wholly owned subsidiary of ICANN, which will be charged with the work of operating the IANA functions. So there are 3 sets of comments that are open right now. The first is on the Articles of Incorporation for PTI, another on the governance documents, and then finally the bylaws for PTI. So we should treat these as a package, but unfortunately, ICANN has them staggered in when comments need to be submitted. So you'll see the two of them are the 7th of August and 11th of August. Those are the two with the most meat to them, because the 31st of July comment on the Articles of Incorporation, I don't think it merits a comment. It already reflects pretty accurately what we recommended in the report, and I didn't see anything controversial in there. Do I have any volunteers who are particularly interested in the naming, numbering, and protocol parameters aspects of post-transition IANA that would assist me in drafting a BC comment on 2, 3, and 4? I'll stop talking. So this is the part of the call where if Adobe were working, all these hands would go up where people are volunteering. So you'll just have to speak up on the phone.
Hi, Steve. This is Heba from Google. I would love to help with that. I've been looking into some of the PTIA articles. So.
Thanks, Heba. Appreciate that. Anyone else?
Yeah, Steve. This is Barbara Warner. The governance documents and the have you had a chance to look at these yet? I apologize that I have not. But do they basically take elements of the proposal, the CCWG and the naming functions proposal and incorporate them as text, or do they move from scratch?
Well, they're from scratch in the sense that we never had a PTI before, so they created a new entity. But to the extent that the entity has to reflect what its mission is and how it works, Barbara, they did take that from the approved community proposal.
Okay, great. Fine. Happy to work with you and Heba on that.
Great. Heba and Barbara, I'll follow up with an email, the two of you, so we can prep things for 7th and 11th of August. Any other volunteers there? Great. Thank you.
Hey, Steve. This is Jay with ITC. I'd like to volunteer as well.
Thank you, Jay.
Naming and numbering technical stuff is more in my wheelhouse than most of this other stuff that we deal with. So.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate that. Let me turn to the fifth one. It's an important one for ICANN. It's that the .com registry agreement held by VeriSign would have been up for expiration in 2018. It's under a presumptive renewal clause, the way all the TLDs are. But nonetheless, it's sort of an important anniversary date. However, VeriSign also is becoming under contract to run the root server, the authoritative root server. It used to do so in a contract with NTIA, but as part of the transition, it's ICANN that'll control that, namely PTI. So VeriSign needs to change its agreement, no longer be with the Commerce Department, but instead to be with ICANN. And as part of that agreement, they wanted to extend it at least 8 years from now, an eight-year term. By making that an eight-year term, that means the contract expires in 2024. And what VeriSign asked for was to make the .com agreement coincide with the root server, root zone maintenance agreement that they operate. So Akram Atala with ICANN wrote a blog a few weeks ago explaining the rationale for the move and the tying the two together. I found it to be pretty persuasive, but then again, VeriSign is a member of NetChoice, so full disclosure. And then it's currently out for public comments to close on the 12th of August. Now, keep in mind that there's only one single amendment to the entire .com agreement. All they did was amend the term of the agreement so it coincides with the root zone maintainer to 2024. There weren't any other amendments made to the agreement. So I included in here links to the agreement, links to the root zone services agreement, and Akram's blog. And I guess I'm interested to know whether the BC wants to comment on this at all, and if so, who's interested in helping to draft? I'll take a cue.
Steve, it's Marilyn. I'd like to be in the queue.
Yeah, Phil as well.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Thanks. Having been involved from the very beginning all the way through where we are today, I just want to comment about my interest in making sure that we have a very stable infrastructure in the majority of the GTLDs, and not to link or misunderstand different roles that the GPLD operators might have. So I would speak in support of this and think that the primary interest that BC members have, I have no relationship with VeriSign at all, but I do have a big concern about making sure that we have a very stable environment as we go through this transition. And when I say stable, I mean operationally stable. So I'm inclined to be supportive of this change as proposed. And not to question it, but I welcome hearing from others who might have different views.
Thanks, Marilyn. Phil?
Yes, Steve. I just want to chime in with a couple of points because I'm actually completing a memo on this for ICA members so they understand the situation. Number one, the original announcement was that they were going to ask for a 10-year extension of the .com registry agreement, which would have been till 2026. In fact, now they're proposing an 8-year extension to 2024, which coincides with the extension that VeriSign would have been entitled to in 2018 under this, the new six-year contract, assuming that there is no violation that would vitiate the presumptive renewal clause of the registry agreement. So it winds up the same place. It just goes, without having to go for formal renewal. Second, on the RZMA contract, which is related, and I thought Akram's blog and other materials laid out a very interesting and strong case for the interrelationship between the technical operation of the root zone and of the .com registry. VeriSign's currently performing that function for the U.S. government for $0. They're proposing to do it for ICANN for $25,000 a month, but subject to possible callbacks for failing to meet very strict goals each month of up to $25,000. I don't have a problem with that. It seems like a reasonable sum for all they do. I've read one piece recently which questioned whether the U.S. government has any review role on this because of the current cooperative agreement under which VeriSign both operates the RZMA functions and which also applies to .com. So I don't know what the U.S. government position will be on that. Finally, I have no opinion on whether or not the BC should file a comment on this, but as you point out, the amendment to the .com agreement is simply striking 2018 and inserting 2024, whereas the related RZMA agreement is a 47-page document and highly technical in nature. And I'll stop there. That was just to help inform BC members on some of the key points here.
Could you put me in the queue?
I will. Thank you, Phil. That was helpful as well. And before I go to you, Denise, I wanted to note that Adobe seems to have awakened. There's a few of us that are in there. But if those of you who have tried to log in, you might try again. Go ahead, Denise.
Thanks, Steve. Not volunteering.
I already wrote the name down.
No. I just wanted to actually to pose a question to whomever might know whether if the BC does decide to submit some comments on this, whether it would be an appropriate stepping off point to once again reiterate the BC's strong support for VeriSign finally following through on their implementation of FICWIS. Historically, going back for, I don't know, well over 5 years, maybe even more, the BC has been trying to get VeriSign to implement FICWIS, and it's been several years since the GNSO passed the consensus policy directing .com to implement FICWIS, and it still has not been implemented. So if we do decide to go forward with comments on this, this is my question, and unless someone has a
additional information as to why we shouldn't, I would suggest that we once again reiterate that this needs to come to a close. Thanks.
Thanks, Denise. I'll note that in Helsinki, I believe you were with me when we went to the two meetings specifically on the FICHU's implementation. And staff, ICANN staff, spent a lot of time walking through the timeline and what it would take, and representatives of VeriSign chimed in with ideas that they had for federated access and other potential ways of giving a centralized access to WHOIS without asking all of their registrars to transport the data over, because I think registrars are raising more and more concerns over privacy laws that prevent them from moving personally identifiable information to the United States for the purpose of sticking it in VeriSign's servers. So there was no conclusion to that discussion, but I did speak up on behalf of the BC's strong priority and suggested that it would be appropriate to address these legal privacy concerns right now rather than go through an entire implementation plan only to have lawyers tell us late in the game, oh, by the way, this won't work for the following registrars because they're covered by certain laws. This won't work for registrants who happen to be residents and citizens of, say, Ireland, because their law prevents the movement of that data. So I just add that to put a finer point on what Denise raised, that FICHU is a live topic, and it might be something to add to any comment we do on FICHUisFor.com. Anyone else in the queue, you can use the Adobe or speak up. Thanks, everyone. Let me go to the next one. It's item 6. These are new operating procedures for the GNSO itself, for council, on how we elect our chair and our vice chair. All of you are aware of the kind of mess we had in Dublin over trying to work that out, and the lingering lack of cooperation between the non-contract party House, CSG, and NCSG. And I don't know, maybe you can solve this by operating procedures. Maybe we can solve it with more social interaction, but we probably do need to solve it before the next round of elections. Those comments don't close until the 14th of August, and there's plenty of time there. But here's where I really would like to look to Susan, Phil, to other members of the BC who have been on council and witnessed firsthand how dysfunctional sometimes our split house voting can be. So I'll take a cue on that to see whether we have any volunteers at formulating a comment.
Steve, it's Marilyn. Can I ask that we also add, if you don't mind, a discussion about the board election? I'm involved in that. I'm not involved in the chair and the vice chair, but I am involved in the process on the board election, and if we might add that into this discussion, at least for the future, that would be very helpful.
Marilyn, I don't think that this particular public comment involves board, but are you suggesting we add it to it anyway?
No. I just mean within the BC, I'd like to add the topic for us to talk about. And not.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Angie.
Yeah, this is Angie Graves. I'm just happy to offer any insight. I've been working with this group on these comments since shortly after October. We were requested by the GNSO Council to form a solution to this issue. So if anybody wants any insights, some details, I'm happy to provide. Thank you.
Angie, take a minute, please. Tell us, what's the real essence of the solution, and why do you think it'll actually work?
Well, the essence of the solution is targeted squarely at hold on one second, please. I'm not going to be able to control the volume outside of here in about 8 seconds, so might need to do that via email.
Okay. Angie, would you be able to, since it's not as easy for you to speak where you are, on number 6, it's not due until August the 14th, but as someone who follows it closely, could you summarize in an email to the BC Private where you see the promise in the solution, the new procedure, or where you see things that we need to press for in a public comment? Whether we publicly comment on it or not, the procedures themselves would be subject to a vote in council where Susan and Phil would cast their vote. But let's use this opportunity to raise concerns about the procedure if we haven't. Thank you, Angie. Number 7 and 8 are not due for quite some time, and I think in the interest of time, I will defer those two until the next BC call. And I will bring up number 9, because Angie Graves, who just spoke to us, is on the panel for the new GTLD Marketplace Health Index. And that panel has published a beta of their Marketplace Health Index. The comments are closing on 6th of September, so there's a lot of time there, but this is for sure something the BC will want to comment on. In a separate email this morning, Angie, since she's close to this, volunteered to pull together notes and lead the BC's drafting on the comments on number 9. And Angie, thank you for that. If you'd like to add anything else, by all means do. I appreciate that. All right, I don't see any other names in the queue. And I have 3 other items before we turn to Phil and Susan on the council. One is that the GTLD subsequent procedures working group, and this means subsequent procedures for opening up new GTLDs after the 2012 round. And they may not necessarily be rounds of new GTLDs. It might be a perpetually open application window. And I think that's why they call it subsequent procedures. That working group suggests that they're looking for help to establish a historical record on advice that's been given on the 2012 round. I think that there is no constituency who's commented more frequently than the BC on the new GTLD round, and our website is abundant in specific indications of where we commented on it. But Chris, you received a note from the working group. Are they looking for us to add more to that? Do they want me to just catalog with hyperlinks all the times we've commented? What are they actually looking for right now?
See, this is Chris. Yeah, it's a good question, Steve, and I'm happy to reach back out and get more specifics. Obviously, I don't have specifics there. At a minimum, if we want to provide, sort of guide them to what we've said prior, that would perhaps be a good start. And then we can, ask them if they want further information that we haven't already sort of provided in the past. But I don't have a specific. Dave just sort of asked me if we've had any input to provide. So why don't we maybe just start with what we've done, and then see if there's more that we can add. We can revisit that.
Thanks, Chris. What I'll do then is I'll follow up on the email that you forwarded me. And I'll copy all of BC Private, and it will include a list of all the times we've commented on the 2012 round. And then I'll ask them if they need anything more to let us know. How about that?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks.
Thank you. 2 other quick items. Phil Corwin, you and Jay Scott are co-chairs of the group, the PDP Working Group on Reviewing All the Rights Protection Mechanisms that are used in all GTLDs. The last time we met, you guys, as co-chair, said you're seeking input on several key questions in a letter, and it's the 4th attachment to this. So, Phil, my question for you is, are you getting the responses you need? And in particular, are you wanting the BC to try to give you a response? Go ahead, Phil.
Number one, we're getting some responses from the SOs and ACs, and all of them haven't responded yet, but I don't think we've reached the deadline yet. If the BC wants to give input, we'd welcome that. With Jay Scott and I, both from the BC and quite familiar with BC positions on RPMs, I wouldn't say it's absolutely necessary, and this is going to be a long process through next year on the new TLD RPMs and then starting in 2018 on the UDRP. I think generally, he's not on the call tape. I know both Jay Scott and I, as well as Kathy Kleiman, who's the third co-chair, are very pleased with the way this is going. We're on or maybe even a little bit ahead of schedule. We're reviewing right now the PDDRP, and even though that's never been used to challenge a registry accused of engaging in or actively encouraging infringement, we're having a good discussion of possible tweaks that might make it more useful, and we're getting set to launch the Trademark Clearinghouse discussion in early September. So we welcome BC input, but for myself, I would say it's not absolutely critical, because we've all been with the BC, both Jay Scott and I have been with the BC a long time and pretty aware of, your views, but if there are members who think that there are concerns or issues which have arisen since the launching of the new TLDs that aren't covered in those previous comments, that might argue for some input on those.
Hey, Phil, it's Steve. You probably know this well, but trademark claims extended, sunrise periods for those who come out twice, the notion of URS, the contractors, and then PIC spec enforcement. Things like that have been prominent in all the comments we've done, and a lot of it relies upon data showing whether or not the trademark claims are a chilling effect or are they having the intended effect. So
yeah.
A lot of it is, well, we won't know until you start to generate some of your findings, right?
Right, right. Yeah, and we've got a lot of BC and other business-related folks in the working group. We have well over 100, I forget the exact count, but I think it was 130, 140 members, and about half that number is observers. So we have very broad distribution by different sectors, by geography. So, and again, we're going, each of these topics is going to be discussed for several months, so there'll be plenty of time for input. I would point out that PIX is not an RPM we're looking at. That's in the ballpark of the subsequent procedures group.
Got it.
It's not
Thank you, Phil.
RPM.
Okay, Marilyn and then Susan. Go ahead, Marilyn. Marilyn, can't hear you. All right, not hearing Marilyn, so maybe we lost that connection. Susan, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that Andy Abrams and I had volunteered to provide some comments to the RPM group, and he sent me his comments, and I've delayed and not gotten that to the RPM. So I will do that. And make sure, and send it out to the BC as soon as we have a full draft form.
Fantastic. And you guys are working off of a attachment 4, so it's the structured questions that they asked us about, right?
Correct.
Fantastic. Thanks, Susan. Appreciate it. Marilyn, are you back?
Susan.
Marilyn, are you speaking? Not hearing Marilyn. So let me turn to one last item here. It's the next generation RDS. We have 5 BC members who are really active on that working group, and it's something that Susan's really familiar with as well. I know that Beth, you're on the call, Andrew's on as well. Is there anything more that you need from us on the item that I've inserted right here into the policy calendar? This is at the bottom of page 2. That would be Susan, Andrew, Beth.
This is Beth. We, if anybody has any comments, I think Susan might have a comment. I don't know if that's premature, Susan, but at this point, we're just plugging along, and just if any BC members have any additional requirements to the list of 800 or so that is attached.
So this is Susan. I actually do have some possible requirements that I thought would be good for the BC to submit, and but once again, I'm delayed in getting those out. It's been a little busy, so most of these all of these are concerned with providing documentation and about not conveying individual privacy data protection rights to commercial entities. So as the RDS moves along, not everyone gets data protection in the same way, because of if you're a commercial entity, that there are no laws to protect that, or there are different laws. So I will submit that to the BC so that, or anybody else's comments as soon as I get time.
Susan, I can. This is Steve. I can assist you with the circulating and collecting comments from the BC members to coordinate, like I'm supposed to. So I can take that off your shoulders as long as you're able to give me at least a rough form of what you'd like to send around.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Beth. Anything else from you on this, or Andrew?
No, I think that's it.
Great. Marilyn Cade, are you on the line yet? Okay, not hearing Maryland. So I'm going to turn things over to Susan and Phil to walk us through Channel 2, which is the support on council. You guys have a council meeting today. So I've indicated the items from your agenda where you usually can highlight for the BC members and discuss the votes that you're likely to take today. Thank you. Take it away, Susan and Phil.
Well, I'll start. Phil here. Yeah, Susan and I actually, we corresponded on this earlier today, and we don't see any. She may have a comment on one issue regarding the GAC communique and PPSAI, but there's nothing on the agenda today. There are some votes scheduled, but we don't see anything particularly controversial or problematic coming up in today's meeting.
Yeah, and there's actually two things that I would like to comment on. The PPSAI, the GAC didn't provide formal advice, so I just want to make sure I ask that it be on our other business part of the agenda, just to make sure that we keep moving that along, that the board is planning on doing something in the next board meeting. So that will be probably a real quick discussion. The other thing is, Steve, you may have to help me with this. It's the CSC IANA committee that we are. The GNSO had a call for candidates. I was on the. I am on the committee, GNSO Council committee, to pick a representative to the CSC, and we had quite an elaborate process set up, but we only got one. Candidate. So James Gannon is sort of a slam dunk because we have no other choices either. Also, I think James would probably do a fine job. So,
yeah,
Susan, it's Steve. I'd like to echo your view that James is an excellent candidate. Let me ask you this. Do we need to propose an alternate as well as a principal representative?
We do, but there was quite a call. If you noticed, there was quite a call for candidates. That went out several times, and the GNSO did not have any other candidates. So when it comes to making sure we have geographical diversity, you know, that's going to be a little rougher because we don't have an alternate.
Then I have one request. When you have the council meeting today, presumably James will be on the line to speak to the vote. But make sure that James understands that if there's a situation where he cannot attend a customer standing committee meeting or his career or something else would get in the way, that he needs to give council advance notice, well in advance, so the council can find an alternate to sit for him at a single meeting or potentially for longer.
So actually the alternate, as I was thinking and, you know, the materials that I've received, and that's a good point, and I will make sure that that point is made. But the alternate that the GNSO was supposed to provide was a geographical diverse candidate, so that if we put James in, and I think he's from Ireland, we have somebody from Latin America also, so that the CSC, when the registries and the other members present their candidates, they could pick one or the other. We were supposed to have two and be happy to go along with either one of those based on the diversity of the council or the committee. So, but I will also reinforce that point too, that we always want representation.
Yeah, and Steve, one more comment before we finish with council. When Susan brings up, asking for board feedback now on the PPSAI, I'm going to bring up again a topic that was discussed at some length in Helsinki, which is the fact that it's on the Red Cross and IGO protections, where particularly on the IGOs, the GNSO put out a PDP recommendations, the GAC put out advice to the board. Contrary to those recommendations, for the last 2 years, the board is certain board members have been holding closed door meetings with GAC and IGO representatives, And there's two problems here. One, the board's been talking to one side, but not to the other. And two, they're 2 years, and they haven't reached a decision yet. And that's starting to have a impact on a working group I co-chair, which, in fact, I have to co-chair the call today in 17 minutes of the IGO Curative Rights Process working group, where we have now received the legal advice we need from an outside expert. We're moving to final recommendations, and it really complicates our job on curative rights if we don't know what the preventative rights are, and the board's been dicking around with this for 2 years already. So it's time for them to come to a decision, whatever it is.
Phil, this is Steve. Can I ask you a question on item 7? This is the next steps relating to procedures to address who is conflicts with national law. So I presume that staff will discuss things on that topic. And I would just ask that you and Susan anchor that discussion on the whole thick who is for .com and .net discussion. We had it earlier in this call because it's actually that who is conflicts with national law that are the legal complications about registrars moving all of their personal information on all their registrants into VeriSign service. So please bring that up in that context and ensure that ICANN Legal is paying attention to this just as much as ICANN Technical.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. And I defer to Susan on who is issues because I understand. I recognize that she has a great deal of expertise in that area.
Thank you. Susan and Phil, anything further from you?
That's all I have.
Okay, great. Marilyn Cade's been in the queue quite a while, so before we turn it over to Cheryl Miller for CSG, Marilyn, what was the point you wanted to make?
Look, I might want to, I'll comment, but I ask you to understand that I'm really out of queue. I wanted to mention that, and we can perhaps move this after I discuss it, move it to later, that has to do with the ICANN staff engagement at the IGF. I don't want to take up time on this. So, Steve, perhaps we just move this under AOB, if you don't mind.
Great. No problem. Cheryl Miller, anything you want to add on CSG?
Yes. Thank you, Steve. A special thank you to everyone who helped participate in the CSG meetings that we had in Helsinki. There was one topic with respect to a letter that Steve had drafted. You might recall we drafted a letter that sort of raised some of the challenges and some of the concerns associated with the ICANN venues being moved. And right now, you know, we had a good discussion in the room there with the CPH during a luncheon session. Unfortunately, the CPH explained that the registrars and registries cannot sign on to the letter. They gave a number of reasons. They mentioned that they would possibly support document disclosure. They thought the focus to the board should be shifted and the focus should be instead be put back to the staff, and that some of the issues in their mind might have already been answered in some of the posts on the same topic. And so right now, with respect to support for the letter, the ISPCP has said that they will support, and we are hoping that also the IPC will support. And I'll stop there. I don't know if there's anything that you wanted to add, Steve, in any of your follow-up conversations, but that's sort of where we are on that.
It wasn't me who drafted that letter initially, Cheryl, but and I have nothing else to add. I think it was a group effort. Thank you.
Oh, apologies on that. Apologies.
Yeah, this is Chris. I'll just say, I know Andrew Mack took the lead to the laboring oar on that letter, and just to know that it's not been forgotten, and we are hopefully we'll know soon that the IPC can sign on, and I think that way, at a minimum, we'll have the entire commercial stakeholder group sign on to the letter, and then we can go ahead and send that out. I don't think I think it's just as timely, frankly, now as it was. When we initially drafted, I don't think anything's changed. So hopefully we'll get an answer from the IPC very soon, and then we can go ahead and formalize it and send it on its way. But that's where we are now.
Hey, Chris, it's Steve. I only had one other item in Channel 3, which is I wanted to point out to everyone that on last Thursday, Larry Strickling gave probably one of the most passionate speeches of his tenure at ICANN, where he explained the whole process of the transition and where it currently stood with regard to approval by the administration and by Congress. And then that was followed by a debate where I participated, a debate over some of the controversy that's been stirred up by certain members of Congress. So there's a link to Larry's remarks as well as to the debate from IGF USA, and I recommend that highly to anyone who's actually looking for a relatively entertaining way of discussing and debating the transition. That's it for me. Over to you, Chris.
Thanks, Steve. I'll just say, lastly, with regard to transition, and because we see Workstream 2 is also noted in the policy calendar, and I'll let everyone know that I've signed up to be a co-rapporteur for the transparency subgroup. So those BC members that are interested in that particular topic, feel free to reach out to me and to learn more. Just to simply say that we have not, the transparency subgroup has not yet had its initial call. We intend to do so, I think, during the first week of August. All the rapporteurs of these different subgroups are having a collective call next week to, I guess, to sort of organize and set the stage, and then the subgroups will then break out and begin work. But I think the expectation is that the transparency subgroup will start, have its initial call during the first week of August for just an hour, and then hope potentially have weekly calls going forward as we set the agenda and start getting to work on that topic. So happy to take any questions folks may have on that issue if there are any. I see Barbara, with regard to jurisdiction group, I don't know what their state of play is, to be honest with you. But I'm sure you could presumably email the rapporteurs. If you don't have their email, we can see if we can find them and then see what the status is. They may very well be waiting until after next week's call as well,
okay,
before they set up their schedule.
Chris, will then you let us know through email when the first official call is, or that be on the website? How will people be contacted?
With regard to the transparency subgroup, yeah, there's been an email list set up for every subgroup. So as soon as my co-rapporteur and I have got a date and time locked down, we will then, of course, email the entire everyone that's provided their emails for that subgroup email list. If that makes sense. So you should be able to receive an email.
Great.
We haven't sent anything out yet.
That would come from staff. That probably wouldn't come from the rapporteurs. It would come from staff.
Yeah.
And I put instructions in the policy calendar. For any of you who want to be an observer or participant to any of the groups, I indicated how you can do that.
So, Phil, I see your hand up.
Yes, Chris, just real quick, on the IANA transition and the Strickling speech, which was a very strong argument in favor of the transition and against its critics, I did circulate to BC members a link to an article I posted on that earlier this week, and then I updated the article because a day later the Republican platform was issued in final form, and it contains a plank opposing the transition. How that may affect Congress in September, I don't know, but the language is there for those who want to see it. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. Any other quick questions or concerns about the transition? Let me go ahead and turn them. Jimson can't be on the call today. He sent his apologies. He's traveling back from the States to Nigeria. He just simply wanted me to reiterate on his behalf apologies for confusion with regard to invoicing. We've had some glitches, I guess, with MemberClix, our third-party source for this. If it hasn't already been resolved, it will be resolved soon. So he just wanted to, again, reiterate his apologies for that, for those glitches. Other than that, I don't have anything else to report on the finance and operations side. And with just a few minutes left, perhaps we can go ahead and turn to any other business. As you can see, the first item there bolded is the GNSO counselor election. Happy to report that Susan Kawaguchi has expressed a desire to run for another term as our GNS, as one of our GNSO counselors. In light of this, and in light of the fact that she will be going on a sabbatical, a much deserved, no doubt, sabbatical this fall, we have a Jimson has put together a timeline for the election, and obviously it's open to other candidates as well. But we thought we would, in an effort to sort of meet with Susan's own calendar, sort of provide a calendar for members. And I can send this out via the list, but also wanted to just go ahead and quickly just say the nomination period will be opened up on Monday, August 15th, and will close on Friday, August 26th. We'll then do a candidates call on Monday, August 29th, and then voting will commence immediately after that Monday call and close on Monday, September 5th. And then the election, of course, will be conducted by our Secretariat Chantel. So that's the timeline we're working with regard to the
Chris.
Marilyn, hold on 1 second. And so that's where we are on GNSO counselor election. I see, Marilyn, you've asked a question about large and small business. As far as I know, there is no distinction for counselor for large and small. There is for NOMCOM, but not for GNSO counselor. Both counselors are to represent the BC as a whole, whether they come from a small business or a large business. So there, I, as far as I know, there's no distinction to be made with regard to that as far as the GNSO counselor is concerned. But did you have a further question on that?
I did. Thanks, Chris, for allowing me to speak. It's Marilyn Case. In the past, we've always tried to have representation across the board. So I just wanted to ask if you could please clarify, you know, you've defined the nominating process, but could you say a bit more about what the criteria is from the executive committee?
As far as the GNSO counselor, I think as far as I know, the criteria is the same as it was, has been for since we've, you know, been doing this. I don't know of new criteria, I can defer to Jimson. He can provide that information when he's available. But as far as I know, you know, obviously we want as many members who are interested to apply to apply. Obviously, I think it's safe. A familiarity with the GNSO is helpful, and the BC, of course, familiarity with the BC and its BC's positions is paramount, since they are the representing the BC on the council. You know, other than that, obviously we always strive for diversity, geographic, gender, etc. So, you know, the call for candidates is open to all. I'm announcing factly that Susan has expressed her desire to run again, but that doesn't preclude others, if they so choose, to throw their name into the ring. That's where I stand on it. If others have others from the XCOM have further insight or opinions, I'm open to them to expressing them. But that's how I'm approaching it. Phil, I see your hand raised.
Yeah, and in fact, the XCOM had an online discussion of this morning. The charter does not and has never required larger business. It's never split the council seats into large or small business. Having said that, Susan, of course, is from a very large and successful internet company. I represent a trade association of mostly small and medium-sized internet entrepreneurs, so we have that balance. We have an excellent working relationship, but when we're representing the BC on council, we're not voting the Facebook position or the ICA position. We are there to articulate and advance and defend the BC consensus positions. So that's all I have to say on it.
Thanks, Phil. Any other quick questions on that? We've just got a couple minutes left.
Chris, it's Bill. I just one quick question. So could we have just a posting to the list on whether anyone has a term limit? That would just help everyone to understand. Term limits aren't decided by us. they're decided by the council. So that could just be posted. That would be very helpful.
Sure. Okay, moving right along. Non-comp positions are due by August 5th. I know that Steve Coates, who's been our voice, if you will, on the non-com, is leaving the BC, changing jobs, changing companies, and will not be able to be our non-com rep going forward. So we will have to sort of work on filling that that role going forward as well. And so I will send out more information on filling that position. But I know we have. I don't know if the August 5th deadline is necessarily for Steve, but I think we have other positions we need to fill and think about. So I will send out more information or have others send out more information in that regard to do. BC letter to the board, we've already talked about that with regard to the meetings. Cheryl mentioned that. Credentials committee, further to this, is that both, as again, Steve Coates leaving and Laura Covington changing jobs within Yahoo, will no longer be engaged with us on a day-to-day basis at the BC. They are two members on our credentials committee who will be leaving the credentials committee, if not soon. I have already done so, and therefore we need two new volunteers right now to fill their slots in the credentials committee. So this is, consider this an initial call out for volunteers to serve on the credentials committee. I'll send out an email to the full list as well for volunteers. But we are interested in members and considering that opportunity to be on the credentials committee, and we'll send out more information soon on that. Any questions about that? Bill, is that an old hand?
No. Well, I just want to say, as current chair of the credentials committee, and I'm actually past my sell-by date for that, and we've agreed it within the XCOM, I'll be rolling off at the end of the year. We need two people to fill those slots. It's not a strenuous job. It's not a lot of time. It's only you're only active when we get membership applications, and I'm just going to be staying on a short time to help educate the new members on the review process. The only time there's any significant time commitment is when we're asked to review a member's eligibility to remain on the BC, and that's only happened twice in the last 3 years. So I'll say something more online. I've got to leave now to chair this other meeting. So.
Thanks.
Bye, all.
Thank you, Phil. And I see Arnola has volunteered to be on it, so that's one name. Thank you very much, Arnola. And if others, we welcome others as well. The committee holds up to three members from the BC on our committee, and so obviously the more the merrier. Lastly, just last note, we'll have a next meeting on Thursday, August 4th, same time as this meeting. So hopefully all can join in that call as well. Any further? I know, Marilyn, you had one more point to raise, an AOB. If you can do it very quickly, I'll let you do it now.
No, Chris, it's not necessary. I'll just send an email. It was just an FYI for those who are interested at ICANN meetings. There's an NRI session. I'll just send it to Chantal. She can share it. Is that okay?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. Okay, thank you all very much. We can stop the recording.
Great. Thank you. Today's call has been adjourned. Everyone have a fantastic day. Thank you again.